Good morning, and I'm not Fast Eddie.
And I'm not Digital Dave.
And joining us today, so graciously, so early on a Saturday morning. It is Saturday, right?
It is, yeah, no kidding. This is last day for us.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. The real world beckons.
Oh, by the way, I want to thank you for passing along that case of flatulence, too, by the way. My front tire on my trike is flat this morning.
Oh, your life is so difficult.
I know.
You better be careful. It's
sliders.
The gentleman we have with us, Mr. Kevin Lacey, you know, specializes in repossessing things. That trike's paid off, right? It's out by the gate, up by the tower. Don't worry. You're safe right now. I don't do trucks or cars. But you know people who do.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, good for you. You know, the whole concept of repossessing, my son and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, why would an airplane need to be repossessed? But I guess if somebody buys something on a loan, eventually someone's going to stop making the payments.
Well, it happens. It happens quite a lot more often than you'd think. And sometimes these aircraft are just sort of the luxury items. And the wife doesn't understand that they've got to make the payments on it. And if they don't make the payments, somebody's going to come get it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that's where you come into play. And you've gotten yourself into some pretty hairy situations from what we've seen.
Yeah, I have. And not just here in the States, but I've done it around the world as well.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how did you get started in this?
Mostly by accident, but my original career goal was to be an airline pilot.
Okay.
And what I found out was back in the 70s and, you know, early 80s, you know, people really didn't care about insurance qualifications. That wasn't a big issue on anything. So people would call me up, hey, can you go get one of these? Yeah, sure. Oh, man, I'm going to get 3 hours in a Baron tomorrow, you know. I couldn't afford to pay that, and they're going to pay me to do it.
Right.
I couldn't get a job flying a Baron. But, you know, on a regular basis, but I could go out and swipe one and get some time. You know?
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Oh, pardon me, sir. I'm going to steal your airplane.
Now,
well, I think the first repo I did was kind of, my boss didn't tell me it was a repo. And so I went out and swiped my first airplane in September 5th, 1975.
Never forget that day. Kind of like your first dollar bill, huh?
My first girlfriend, you know.
Yeah.
Everything. There's a lot of firsts in life that you never forget.
Well, so. I imagine some of these airports you go into, the aircraft owner is well known. And all of a sudden, they see, like, the tower guy or someone on the ground sees that airplane with some stranger at the controls. And that's got to have created some interesting situations.
Well yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, the line service kid, for example, is an aspiring pilot. You know, he wants to be, and the pilot that flies this particular airplane is maybe bringing him along, nurturing him, you know, and so he's going to do everything he can to protect his buddy and his airplane. And so it sometimes becomes, that's where a lot of stealth has to start happening, because you don't know who's who. And you don't know who you can find as an ally. You don't know who you can count on as being an enemy. So you just count on everybody being an adversary.
Okay, that doesn't sound like a really good situation.
Well, you think of the situation with car repos, and it gets rather nasty. There have been all kinds of weapons drawn and everything, and here now you're repossessing a multi-million dollar aircraft.
And that's typically going to be in a locked hangar in an area of an airport that the public can't just walk into anyway. So now you got to figure out how to get around that.
Well, and there's one other factor, and Kevin, you've been up against this a lot. I never thought about this, but there are a number of ways to make an airplane non-airworthy without damaging it. That's something that you got to check up on, too. People like to disconnect the batteries into things.
Well, yeah, and I think that my illustrious career has taken me all around this aviation industry here, in that I am also an airframe power plant mechanic. I also have inspection authorization. Now, I know a lot of people went to the grocery store and bought their A&P license, but this character here, he's actually got hard time on his toolbox, and so he's, you know, he knows how to look at an airplane pretty well.
Okay. What's the largest airplane you've ever repoed?
That would be a Boeing 747.
You're kidding.
Oh, my aching eyes.
Oh, your aching eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I've captured about everything that flies, from a Piper Cub to a Boeing 747.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've been all over the world doing it.
Okay, now, well, we won't even ask about other countries, because that's a whole nother can of worms.
Oh,
but
you got that right.
You repo a 747. That's not something you just hop in and take off. You file a flight plan? Do you do all the planning that an average pilot would do to take a trip just with someone else's airplane?
Oh, you holy cow. This poses opens up a whole nother can of worms here, because when you're talking about 747s, obviously I can't fly a 747. I'm only typewritten up to a 737. So,
oh, darn,
I missed it by 10 number points, right? But no, I'll pre-position or pre-coordinate a crew. But the first thing to do is establish ownership and, with the local airport authorities in a situation like this.
Oh, because there's no sneaking in and stealthily removing something that big.
Well, actually, I did stealthily sneak in, and I was actually sitting on the flight deck of this airplane after breaching security at an undisclosed international airport, and I wound up walking all the way across the dang airport, on the little crew pathways, and I got managed. I'm now standing on the ramp underneath this big old airplane going, now what do I do?
Yeah, right. Now what?
Holy crap, So I climb up through the belly hole up there and get all the way up onto the flight deck. I get the flight man. I get the trip logs for the airplane. I get the airworthiness, registration, certificates, insurance. I get all the documents and paperwork. I start posting repossession notices all over the flight deck up there. And then I'm sitting there now trying to meditate in my head, how am I going to now cruise all the way across this airport without being stopped and by somebody? And I'm thinking to myself, I've done all this now. I've gotten to this point. What do I go do now? And I keep hearing this term. Oh, I know. Selfie time. So now I'm sitting on this flight deck taking camera pictures of myself up there on this flight deck. Yeah, baby, look at here,
Oh, my goodness.
And, so after having a little bit of fun with that, I get down out of the cockpit, down through the belly of the airplane, back out, close the hatch, and I just truck right across the airport like I own the place again, and wander into the airport authorities office over there and then disclose why I'm there, what I'm up to. And I don't tell them that I've already breached their security.
Right.
But I'm here to repossess this dang jumbo sitting over here on stand 9 over here, and they were quite animated about it. But
for or against?
Well, they just wanted the airplane to move, and
They were happy.
Well, no, there's a variety of things that go on. This is a hot ramp that is active every day, and they only have a certain amount of stands, and this airplane is now sitting there, but they want me to move it, somebody do something with it, move it across the airport, so we can put it over here in long-term storage, because they have airplanes transit coming in and out all day long and all night long. And at the end of the day, it was quite an adventure, but the client didn't have anything to do with the airplane. He had no idea what to do with it at this point in time. All he wanted to do was move the airplane to Heathrow. And so as we had some discussions and started talking about the expenses of relocating the airplane, where's my crew? My crew is, they're a week away. They're coming out of Seattle. And so to fly the airplane is another week. So by the time all is said and done with, we'll be there for a month.
Oh, my.
And so, that's no big deal. I can do that easily, time-wise. But when we started talking about the finances of it all, this is going to be our parking fees, this is going to be this will be that, this will be the fuel bill. So we go through all the numbers. And can we call you back about that? We got to the parking fees. Well, sure. So about 2 hours later, they called me back. Well, here's the deal, Kev. What's your staying power? And I said, what do you mean, what's my staying power? Well, you've captured the airplane. You've done a great job. Problem is, we don't know what to do with the airplane. We haven't even thought about having to recover the airplane. Now we got to find somebody to lease this airplane to, and we have to spool up our marketing program and get this thing marketed. Well, okay. So what's up? What do you mean, what's my staying power? Well, somebody's got to stay with the airplane and run a preservation program. We just checked on the prices over at Heathrow. It's $3,000 a day to park a jumbo on the ramp over there. And you're telling me it's $300 a month down there in Africa. And so what we're saying is we'd like to leave the airplane there. It's a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And so 9 months later, I'm finally delivering the airplane.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, you didn't have to stay there the whole 9 months, did you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that's unplanned vacation if I ever heard one.
Well, yeah, and it was quite entertaining that sometimes I wanted to pull my hair out, but...
well, you got a lot left, so I guess you didn't.
Well, no, I didn't, but it was an entertaining 9 months, say the least.
Wow.
Incredible. A 747. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, and guess where I delivered it to?
No idea.
Alaska.
As if I ain't got no sense. Oh, heck no. I picked the garden spots. I went to Karachi, Pakistan with that airplane.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's a garden spot, all right.
Yeah.
And then you had to make your way back home.
Oh, through man. Dubai.
Oh, that's a hot spot, too. Jeez.
I guess he never gets an easy one.
And no, well, if it was easy, they'd have sent somebody else.
Right,
know?
Right.
Exactly.
Or somebody that had better sense.
Right, exactly. Someone that didn't know what they're getting to.
Well, I think that's what they send me for. Well, send Kev. He don't.
Yeah, he doesn't know any better.
He'll right. do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'd like to talk with you for another couple of days, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah, I hate when this happens, but it's great to see you. We'll keep watching you on Discovery.
Yeah, we're on Discovery Channel. This year we've got a Wednesday night slot at 9 p.m. 8 central on Discovery. That's hashtag airplane repo for all you guys that are doing that social media stuff. And you guys can follow me on Kevin Lacy, Texas Air Fleet, at that'd be on Facebook, I think it is. I got a Twitter page too, somewhere out there. I'm not sure how all that stuff works. I got some 10-year-old kids that help me with that. You know?
All right, thank you for joining us, Kevin.
Hey guys, everybody enjoy Oshkosh. We got one day to go.
Hey, these airplanes are all paid for now.
That's what everybody says every time I walk up and down the aisle here. Everybody's talking about paid for airplanes.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, thanks guys for having me on.
No problem. Welcome. This is Digital Dave,
and I'm Fast Eddie,
and this is EAA Radio.